Everybody, welcome back to Inside the Genie's Lamp. This is one that I really want to talk about because it's going to give a lot of context as to how I got lean, how I would do it if I basically didn't do the thing that I did to get me lean, and just a hell of a lot of context behind what usually happens. So I'm not sure if you saw it, but last week I posted something on my Instagram stories where it was a shirtless photo of me in the mirror and I was looking pretty lean. And I took that photo because I was looking pretty lean. And if there was no context behind that photo and I was just an affiliate marketer or someone with no soul, I would just have posted smashing my new workout or thanks to the new fat burning supplements or fiber supplements from tag whoever I was making money from. Feeling amazing, doing all this stuff, go buy it and you can look like this as well. And that was very interesting to me to post that because I didn't want to post that photo because it felt like I'd cheated my way to becoming lean. And realistically, it's been 5 months of me losing 4 kilos, maybe five. And that's what I preach to a lot of people of, hey, if your results are really slow, would you still be happy with them? Would you still do this, 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 this? Would you be able to focus on your life, be happy, and create the lifestyle that you want to live if you weren't focusing so heavy on the weight? And I've basically done that almost accidentally. Well, actually, purely accidentally. And now I'm tracking calories to make sure I'm getting enough food in, to make sure that I'm not basically starving myself, that I don't have no energy because I'm not eating enough. When I posted that photo, the reason I say if I had no soul, I would have posted it and tagged affiliate marketers and be like, hey, you know, this, buy my supplement and do this dumb shit, was purely because photo looks lean. Context behind it, I had worked out 80 minutes that week. Another thing to say, hey, my program is working. My supplement is working. I only worked out 80 minutes that week. 2 sessions at 40 minutes. On the weekend, I'd eaten a pizza for Friday night and lasagna and chips for Saturday dinner and Sunday dinner. And then on Saturday, I caught up with a client as well. And we ended up having lunch and I had a burger and fries. 8 out or takeaway meals 4 times in 3 days. And I woke up Monday morning feeling lean as. Why was that? Because the week before, or during that week, the lead up into it, Monday through Friday, I had food poisoning. And I couldn't keep anything in. Couldn't keep anything down. Sorry to probably ruin your morning, but that's the fact of the situation. I was feeling it. Every person that I spoke to during that week, I was like, I feel gaunt. I feel like a Disney villain. You know how they're always drawn like super long and lanky and like, you can see their massive cheekbones and they look like a fucking candelabra in some sort of way. That felt like me. And I felt like, holy crap, I've got no energy. I'm tired. I'm this, I'm that. I'm just wasting away. I didn't look like it. Like, I still looked lean. I felt like I was, well, I looked like I was maintaining muscle and just like, oh my God, you're on a diet. That's amazing. I felt fucking awful. And I wasn't even sleeping right. So that entire week, even though I was somewhat productive because I couldn't really move or do anything else, I didn't enjoy that week. The weekend, I was like, fantastic, I'm finally keeping food down. I need food. I need to eat something. And that's where I basically gave myself permission to eat whatever the fuck I want. And when I was eating and eating and eating, and I was still not hungry. Sorry, I was still not full. I was still hungry. And I was like, oh my God, I need food. And I woke up Monday and I was like, oh, I'm pretty hungry still. Because basically for an entire 5 days, I wasn't eating anything. I would just eat it. Get rid of it. I was like, oh, good. So in 5-6 months, I've lost about 4 kilos, maybe 5 kilos. And that's not, I'm not including the food poisoning weight loss as a part of that, because that'd be pretty shit. About 4 kilos, maybe 5. And sorry, just got a message. That's always what I'm telling people to go for, to be like, hey, if your results were really slow, or if in 6 months you wanted to lose 12 kilos, what if you'd only lost 5 or 6, but you're feeling good, you're sleeping better, you're doing all these things. I've accidentally done that. And my body, my nutrition, my education, my knowledge around health and fitness has come over a long period of time of basically 9 years of doing this, which isn't even a long period of time. It's long considering only, I think, 1% of businesses or 2% of businesses in, or personal training businesses, I should say, are still around after 12 months. And of those businesses, I believe 20% of them or 2% of them, can't remember what two it was, but it's almost like the 1% of the 1% stay in business for longer than 5 years. And I was like, oh, cool, I've done that. And I, first off, love that. Because, it, I mean, for me, it's just like a, oh, yeah, I did that. Fantastic. That's everything that I want. That's amazing. The leanness, the aesthetic that I have at the moment, I got to about 83 kilos. And initially, I was maintaining at 88. And I was maintaining 88, 87 kilos. And I was like, oh, well, this is as lean as I'm going to get. This is whatever it is. I'm strong. I'm doing this and that. But I didn't really enjoy my body. I didn't really like it. I was still really self-conscious for taking my shirt off. And I mean, I still am to some degree, but now I'm not as much. And when I was sitting around 87, 88, I decided way back to, when I say way back, it's like 2 years ago, I think, two and a bit years ago. I was like, all right, well, every client that I have has done the 1200 calorie diets and done this and that. I wonder what that would feel like. Because I've never done that because it, I mean, 1200 calories, it would be a fucking nightmare. So doing all of that, sorry, speaking to all those people, I was like, okay, I need to figure out what this is like. So I calculated the deficit and I said, most people that are coming to me, they have a maintenance of about 2000 calories. So if they're doing 1200, sorry, they have a maintenance of about 2200. Most people I speak to, let me slow this down and recap that for you. Most people I speak to have a maintenance of about 2200 calories per day, meaning they can eat on average 2200 calories per day and not gain or lose weight. When they're doing a 1200 calorie deficit, or they're doing a 1200 calorie meal plan, that means they're in a deficit of 1000 per day. I calculated what roughly my maintenance period would be because I'd been tracking calories up until that point, you know, roughly on and off. And when I'd done my numbers, I said, right, for me to be in a deficit of 1100 per day, I would need to be eating 1600 calories a day. So I figured it out. I'm burning about 2600, 2700 calories per day at that time, about 2 years ago. And I did a calorie deficit of 1,600 calories per day. Sorry. Well, yeah, technically. I ate 1,600 calories a day, which put me in a deficit of about 1,100 per day. Meaning, if I were in a calorie deficit of 1,100 calories per day, I would be losing 1 kilo per week. And across the next 4 weeks, I lost 4 kilos. It was a fucking nightmare. I was tired, I hated it, I was angry, everyone was pissing me off. I wasn't lifting as good as I did in the gym. Everything became incredibly difficult, and I did this for 4 weeks just to see what a quote-unquote equated 1200 calorie meal plan or deficit would be, what it would feel like. And that sucked, let me tell you. In that 4 weeks, I dropped down to 83 kilos, and I hated it, but I said, if I'm going to come out of this, obviously me being me, I'm going to have to reverse diet. So I went from 1600 calories and I kept tracking, but I bumped my calories up to 2200, which is still technically a deficit for me, but I went to 2200 just to see what the difference would be and how that would affect my body. Through those 2 weeks, through that 1 week, I believe it was, of doing 2200 calories, I still lost like 400 grams or something like that across that next week. When I'd lost the 400 grams, I went, oh shit, okay, I need to add more. So I went up to 2,500 calories, 2,600 calories, I believe. And then I tracked for 6 weeks at 2,600 calories. And I maintained at 83 kilos. Looking back at it, when I tell people that, they go, oh my God, you lost 4 kilos in 4 weeks. It's like, yes, but to maintain it, I had to put another 7 weeks in of reverse dieting. So then it becomes, I did 11 weeks worth of tracking and nutrition to lose 4 kilos, which is almost 3 months. Would you lose 4 kilos, or could you lose 4 kilos in 3 months? It's like, yeah, I probably could have done it a lot slower, not been as miserable, enjoyed myself, had some food here and there, and it would have been all fine. But I didn't, because I wanted to experiment and see what it was like fucking hating my life. And it was like, oh wait, I've done this before. I did this before I was a personal trainer, and about 2 years afterwards, and then a year after that again. So now I at least know what being on such a low-calorie diet feels like, and I can be like, hey, yeah, I tried it, and this is what I experienced, and it fucking sucks, so let's not do that. But it did get me down to 83 kilos, and I managed to maintain it because I did reverse dieting and basically sorted myself out in terms of nutrition. So then I was maintaining 83 kilos. I'm now sitting at about 78, 79 on, you know, quote unquote, a bad day or a heavy day or whatever the fuck we're going to call it. I'm sitting at about 78, 79 kilos at the moment. And that's come off 5 or 6 months of just doing what I'm doing. The reason that I'm worried about sharing my results, or I don't feel like I should share my results, is A, high majority of my clients are women. So I have an easier time straight off the bat losing weight and gaining muscle and looking lean, because naturally from birth, because of my genetics and because of my hormone production and because of basically me being me, my biology, genetics, all that fun stuff, I'm going to have more muscle on me on average compared to the average woman. And I am almost pretty much spot on an average man in terms of like height, weight, everything. I am spot on average. There's nothing amazing about me. And it's crazy to think that I have done everything that I've done and the amount of lifting that I've done in my life, basically 12, 13 years of pretty much my entire life being playing sports, being athletic, doing shit. And then the adult part of my life from 18, so 12 years of lifting heavy weights, focusing on nutrition, meal prepping, doing all this shit on and off through occasion. I haven't done it consistently for 12 years, but over that period of time, I've obviously gained weight. I went up to 103 kilos and hated that. Cut it all down to get to 90. And then I did again to go to 88. Then it was 83. And now it's at 78. And I'm maintaining pretty easy. It's crazy to think that over the 12 years of me trying to do all of that, I am now spot on average in terms of every study out there based on man. It is weird. Based on man, based on men, not humankind. And it's just weird to think, oh, okay, I did all of that work and now I'm spot on average of, you know, quote unquote, what is healthy or what should be considered healthy. It's a wild concept. And I was watching Friends like a month or bit ago, and you know how they always make fun of Monica for being fat and being heavy and doing this when she was a kid? It's crazy to think that back then in the 90s, and then obviously for the late series they went into the 2000s, it's crazy to think that they were like, oh, she was like 200 pounds at this and that, and now that's a normal body type. And I said it to Beth, because obviously we were watching it together, and I said it's funny how they're making fun of me. Of, I nearly said Monique, fucking hell, of, what's her name? Monica. Jesus, wow. Instantly forgot her name. Even came up with a different name for her. Jesus. We're watching Friends and I said, it's funny how they're making fun of Monica for being 200 pounds and looking like that and doing this. That's an average body type now. Like, that's what people look like normally. And obviously people are trying to change that, and maybe they want to lose weight. Maybe they're happy with where they are. I don't give a fuck, you know, what people are looking like or how to, well, I care about how people are feeling. I don't care how they look or anything, but if they're feeling like shit, well then, hey, let's do something about it. But it's wild how times have changed in basically 20 years to go from, and I understand why this is all here in terms of the body shaming and this and that was part of the culture. But I just found it so fascinating to go, wow, they're making fun of her for that. And now that's an average body type. And it would have been a lot harder back then to put on as much weight because, I mean, I'm assuming, because now we have Uber Eats. Now there's delivery of every food ever. And even when I was growing up, there was like, oh my God, Macca's is going to get delivered? Like, that'd be crazy. I'd be ordering Macca's all day, every day, doing this. Imagine waking up and then just having someone drop food at your door and going, oh my God, like, here's your Macca's. Be like, man, that'd be amazing. That'd be a dream. And then it's got introduced in like, the CBD. And me and my friend were like, whoa, that's crazy. Can you imagine living in Melbourne and having food just like on your doorstep? And then it very slowly over the next years, I don't even know what time frame it is, but over the next however many years, now, if a place doesn't deliver food, it's like, well, what are they doing? Like, they're losing so much money. They're doing this. They're idiots. Whereas back then, if I wanted Macca's, I had to either call up a taxi or get on a bus or...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Go for a midnight hike down to Macca's, which was very real back then. It was just 1 a.m. You would sneak out of your room. Like, I didn't do this, but when I was staying with friends, they were like, yeah, I do it all the time. And I'm like, whoa, you're such a rule breaker. I was absolutely a goody two-shoes. But when I was staying with friends, they were like, yeah, let's just go get Macca's. And we would have to, like, basically jump out their window, take the fire wire off, basically break out of the house, and then go to Macca's, buy all the stuff, and then come home. And then, you know, it would take like an hour to do that. And then we'd get back and be like, yep, sweet. Whereas now it's like instructions, leave at the door, text when it's here, please do not ring doorbell. That's it. And then all you'd have to do is just be quiet, go on to the door. You wouldn't have to do anything. And that's like, I say it's not that long ago. That was when I was 18. That was 12 years ago, which is a long time. But me growing up, I didn't have access to that shit. I still had access to Macca's, KFC and all that stuff when I was driving around or from basketball practice or whatever. But at the same time, not a hell of a lot of money growing up and not a lot of opportunity to, on the weekend, say, yep, let's do this. And we would always, well, not always, but we would often get pizza because it was cheaper to feed a family instead of going to Macca's and getting individual meals and all that stuff. So it was very interesting to see how times have changed in basically 2024. So 24 years. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. Now that's a normal body type. And if people look like that and like what happened in Friends was happening now, the show wouldn't even make it to air because it would be toxic. It would be body shaming. It would be this, it would be that. There would be everything that's wrong with it. And it's wild how much has changed in 20 years. So the reason The reason I'm saying this podcast, well, technically I'm not lying, is because I really wanted to get it out there of like, I, first off, straight off the bat from what I said before, is I have an easier time losing weight because I have more muscle on me on average compared to the average woman because I'm an average man. And I already don't feel like sharing my results because of that fact to say, hey, I lost weight by working out and eating healthier. Realistically, that's exactly what I tell all of my clients to do and be patient with it. That's why we have a minimum of 6 months. A fair amount of people are continuing on after the 6 months, and that's an option. Obviously, when you finish the transformation program, if you want to continue coaching, it's just a month-to-month thing, and it's cheaper than doing a whole new six-month program. There is a monthly, cheaper, recurring cost because you've just finished the program. You're easier to coach, and we know what's going on. So if you do want to do that, message me, DM me, and we can figure that out. But I forgot where I was. I'm having a good morning. I'm doing really well. I've got no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. I keep forgetting what I'm talking about. And I've got notes in front of me. And even as I read the notes, I'm like, what? What is that? Why would I type that? Why would I say that? So I'm doing really well. So we have the minimum 6 months because it's basically eat high protein and enjoy the food that you're eating. Make sure, obviously, they're micronutrient dense. But lift heavy shit. That's it. Be patient with the results that you're after. And when times get tough, keep doing what you're doing. It is going to be hard. It is going to be tough. But keep doing what you're doing because it'll pass. And then you'll thank yourself for doing all the stuff that helped you maintain during that shit time so that you can keep your results, basically. Where a lot of people go wrong, I'm going to full circle this. Where a lot of people go wrong in their weight loss journey is when the weight loss stops, when it maintains, when it plateaus, when it hits. Usually after like 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. If it's after about a year, then okay, yeah, we need to reevaluate. But if it's 4 to 6 weeks later and your weight is plateauing, there's more than likely that period that I've seen numerous times, just keep doing what you're doing. Lift the weights, keep tracking, get the cardio, get the sleep, do all the big things that are going to help you see the results, which is going to be another podcast, the main big things to focus on, which obviously I've just alluded to, but it's going to be a whole thing. Do those things. Even if you're not losing weight, even if you're gaining weight a little bit, keep tracking, keep doing the things because it's gotten you this far. And then if we need to evaluate after 2 weeks of whatever, then fantastic, we'll reevaluate. But where a lot of people go wrong is they see that week of, I didn't lose weight, so therefore something's wrong, so I'm failing, so I have to change everything. And they change everything. And then it becomes too hard, it's overwhelming, they lose the results, and they basically just, oh my God, I don't know how to do this. And they give up because it gets too hard. Where a lot of my clients differ, or where a lot of my clients get pissed off at me, to be completely honest, is I go, keep doing what you're doing. Like, it'll pass. And they go, the fuck it will. This is hard. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. So I'm like, all right, well then back off a little bit and just focus on sleep. Just take this week, rest, relax, recharge. And like, Trav, it's not going to work. Hey, how'd you go this week? Yeah, listen, Trav, it worked. And I'm kind of pissed, to be honest. So we end up finishing the whole 6 month program and they go, I'm so confused as to how it worked. It didn't feel like it was hard. It felt like it was really easy. I'd feel like I don't deserve these results because it was so easy. And I'm currently in that spot with myself because it feels like I'm doing everything that's easy. I'm taking care of myself and I'm seeing the results of, you know, now I'm 78 kilos. I'm the leanest I've been since playing sport 8 times per week. And I not only feel weird sharing that because A, I'm a guy and most of my clients are women. So I don't want to be that fucking Ryan Reed dickhead that was like, basically grooming his clients. And he was like, I'm a woman's only coach. And, you know, I'm not a woman's only coach, but I do market towards only women. And if guys see that and want to come into like, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about, then fantastic. I've still got male clients. I've still got clients who are men. And that's completely fine. The rules don't change for them. It's actually much simpler. And I don't know why I did this, but I could have made so much easier money just targeting men, because I could have gone, do this, you'll be fine. You've got a 24-hour hormone cycle. You want to just fucking figure it out. Just do that. By the way, we're going to talk about some anxiety and some mental health stuff. Whereas for coaching women, it's, oh shit, where are you in your cycle that science literature says that it's a 28-day cycle, but it could be anywhere from 15 to 14 days to 68 days. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? And me being me, not being okay, not knowing something, every time a client had a problem, I was like, I'm going to figure it out for you and come back next week. I will have an answer for you. I would reach out to professionals. I remember one time I had a client who had sciatica and he had symptoms presenting that I had never seen before. I reached out to a chiropractor, Jacob someone. I'm going to figure that into Jacob Harden, I think. And I'm going to figure that out and tag him. But I had a client, and this was before I was Fitness Genie and before I did heaps of social media stuff and before TikTok and all that stuff. I had probably like 1,200 followers at the time. I messaged him and he had, I think, 400,000 followers or 300,000 followers. And I said, I'm completely lost on this client who has back pain and this and that. And his whole thing at that time was back pain. I'm completely lost on this. Would you mind if I sent you his x-rays and this and that? And because I really just need some help in helping this person. And I obviously asked the client to say, hey, would you mind if I reached out to other professionals and basically worked with them to be able to get you what you need? And he said, yep, go for it. So then I reached out to Dr. Jacob H. I feel like it has a H. And to his credit, he responded. He said, yeah, email it to me right here. And I was like, what the fuck? He actually replied. And hundreds of thousands of followers, I was not expecting him to actually reply. And when he did, I think it was hundreds of thousands of followers. Now I'm like, oh man, was it like 70,000? But even so, heaps of followers. And he was like, yep, email me. And I emailed it through to him. And later that night, he responded with, everything looks good, blah, 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 blah. And I obviously told him what I was doing and how I was doing it and why I was doing it. And he responded with an incredibly well thought out thing, as if I were the doctor, like, prescribe, like, this was one of my most clear moments. He responded with a massive email that was, I'd recommend doing this. You're doing everything correct from this aspect. I would also add in this. Be careful of this. His x-rays look like this. And it was a full diagnosis and rundown of what's going on. And I reckon that would have taken him, me at that time, I was like, man, this would have taken him like all night. Realistically, it probably would have taken him like 20, 30 minutes because he was a fucking expert at what he did. And I was super appreciative of doing that. So I went back to my client and I was like, hey, I have answer. I have an answer for you from this person. And we did that thing and fixed his back. And it was crazy. It was just, oh my God, holy crap, that was amazing. And I can't remember where I was going with that. But anyway, there's a fun story for you. I really need to listen to these things back or like write them down or have a transcript in front of me to be like, what was I going full circle with again? And anyway, trying to coach men would have been a hell of a lot easier doing that. Coaching women, I was like, oh, I have to figure this out. That's what it was. Look at me go. Coaching women, I'm like, I have to figure this out. And then that's where the story for the chiropractor came in to be like, hey, I need to figure this out. Can you please help me? So reaching out to people, other professionals, other colleagues, and like just anyone that I thought could help me was super beneficial. And when it came to women, there was always something else that I had to learn. There was always something else that I had to know. And for me, it's wake up, do the same thing. I don't give a fuck what you feel. Just get up and do it. And strangely enough, for most men that I speak to, particularly men that obviously grew up playing sports, if they signed up with me and I said, this is what we're doing this week, they would not bat an eye. They would just go, yep, done. And even if I went, how are you feeling? And they came back and said, I'm run down, I'm this, I'm that, I'm whatever, but I'm going to keep going. Okay. Obviously, get some sleep, do this, do that. I'd give them the exact same advice, like coaching men and women in terms of the advice or tips or ideas or anything like that, it's all very much the same. Take care of your mental, emotional health, and whatever you can do physically, do that. Lift heavy shit, eat high protein, decent fiber, and just eat colorful food and have fun along the way. That general advice works for everyone. In terms of the specifics of how we're going to get your results based on what's happening, there's a lot more minute details that go into coaching a woman as opposed to coaching men. And that's why I don't really want to share my results, because I also felt like it wasn't earned. And now I'm understanding what my clients are saying, because for me, it was always just, yeah, just do that stuff. And then over time it'll work out. Cause for me, it always has. And like, it hasn't always worked out. It's been an absolute fucking shit fight to get where I am today. But at the same time, I need to be very careful. And this is something that shits me with the coaching industry as a whole. And particularly it's what I call boomer advice. Ah, you'll figure it out. Cool. That doesn't help me right now. And obviously the reason I call it boomer advice is because that's the advice that we get from everyone who's basically older than us. Because, you'll figure it out. It's like, okay, I understand that you're at that age or you're at that point in your life or career or whatever where you can say you'll figure it out because you did figure it out. But how did you figure it out? What were the details? Like, how did you struggle? Why did you struggle? What can I do to prevent that struggle? What can I do now that's different, obviously from different times, that can help me get through that? And a lot of people get caught up in giving people the advice of where they are now. So I could give people that advice of getting lean and taking care of yourself and health, nutrition, all that stuff. I could say, yeah, you know, you'll figure it out. It'll be all right. Just keep doing what you're doing. But if I have a client that comes to me and, you know, I do say that advice the majority of the time, but if I have someone that comes to me and they go, oh my God, I'm completely run down. I don't know where to start. It's all just overwhelming. And I said, don't worry, you'll figure it out. Just get to the gym, lift heavy shit and, you know, eat decent meals. They don't know what a decent meal is. They don't know how to lift heavy shit. They don't even know how to get started. So me giving that advice of like, oh, just be patient and, you know, you'll figure it out. It doesn't help that person. Coming up with advice to help that person is what I believe coaching is all about. Tailoring it to that person to say, this is where you are in your life. And I remember being at that point, or I had a client who was at that point or even worse. And we did this. Let's see if it works. And being able to do that. So figuring it out, fantastic. Everyone is going to figure it out. But for the majority of how I got to where I am, I did figure it out. I did do that. And for clients, where they finish the program or they get halfway through it, or they go, this is so easy. And how did I do this? And I don't get how simple it was for me to achieve these results and sustain them and feel awesome and have a social life and do all these things. like I said before, for me it was, well, yeah, I just figured it out because it's been 12 years of me doing this shit. I figured at some point it would click. And I didn't realize how easy it would be being medicated for ADHD. I already feel like I can't share my results because I'm a man and it's very simple for me to do those things. On top of that, I didn't realize how much I was struggling to do things and be productive while I was unmedicated. And I was on so much pre-workout and caffeine because I needed those stimulants to just make me fucking do something. Yet at the same time, if I wasn't medicated for the ADHD and I said I want to get to less than 80 kilos, I know me, I would just do it because it would be, okay, well, this is what happens. Yet when it comes to work or emails or doing something, I know that I would get it done. But instead of saying, hey, I've got 4 hours of work here, I'm going to smash everything out in these 4 hours, and then I'm going to have lunch, and then I'm going to do another 3 hours of this, I would take that 7 hours of work and stretch it across the week. And I would do some work at 9 p.m. I'll do some work at 8 a.m. I would just, it would be scattered and all over the place. It would still be done during the week, but it would be so fucking difficult to do that. And now I understand why I worked so much was because I was so unfocused and I couldn't get shit done in a timely manner. So when people saw me working on Saturday or Sunday at like 12 p.m., it wasn't because I had so much discipline and because I was so into hustle culture and grinding and work ethic and all this stuff. Realistically, looking back at it, I was working 7 days a week because I was so scattered and unfocused that I had no other way of getting it done. I would leave everything to the last minute. So when clients were ready to start on the Monday, I was doing their program at 4 o'clock on a Sunday evening, afternoon, because that was deadline moment. That was, I will get it done by Sunday at 5 so that you can have it ready for Monday morning. Realistically, all the programs and stuff are done now, where if someone doesn't have their program, this is a fair warning to people, if someone doesn't have their program or anything for the Monday morning, they either haven't checked in or, me being me, I forgot to press a button. So I'm very sorry that I didn't publish the workouts for you. I sincerely apologize about that. But if you don't have them ready for Monday morning, it's either I didn't press that button, which is an easy fix, please send me a message, or you haven't sent a check-in yet, which has prompted me to basically leave your program and say, well, they're going to send it in soon. And if you don't have it on Monday, you haven't checked in or I haven't pressed that button. Either way, send me a message, make sure I've got it. So yeah, I didn't realize how much I struggled just to get shit done. And if I wanted to get shit done, I was very dependent on caffeine to get it done, to help me focus. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, having a coffee to help you focus, to do these things to help you focus. If you become dependent on them, like you can't get shit done without them, then it becomes a bit of a problem. And I started to notice that problem come in of being dependent on caffeine, or else I couldn't get anything done or focus or be awake or anything. And it was fucking killing me. And then I took a month off caffeine and the workouts, they were fine. The intensity eventually picked up. I learned how to work, how to warm up and activate and do stuff and get me into the feeling of the gym. But in terms of work, it was, oh, what are we going to do? Got to do this. All right, I'll do it at 10. All right, what time is it? It's 11. All right, I should probably get started soon. All right, well, it's lunch in half an hour, so I might as well either wait half an hour or see what I can smash out in 30 minutes and then get that done. And I would get nothing done. And I used to think that I was so productive because I was doing a million different things. It didn't really mean anything to the business, but I felt busy. So I was like, yeah, I'm really busy all the time. Whereas now I'm getting done what I used to get done in a week in 4 hours. And I'm like, oh yeah, I can do more. I haven't been productive this week when realistically I've done a whole month of work in a week. And I'm trying to slow myself down from doing that because Jesus Christ, it's a lot. But on top of that, the medication it was a whole fuck around for the first 3.5-4 months, and now I'm onto it and I'm adapting and all that fun stuff. But because I can focus, because I can plan, because I've always been a good planner and lists and calendar and routines and all that stuff, when I started taking the medication, so many things went out the window. I stopped taking as much caffeine. I stopped taking caffeine in general, really. I stopped having to go through my massive morning routine. I stopped having to listen to music in the background. I stopped having to have this aromatherapy thing going on. I stopped a lot of coping mechanisms and strategies that I had in place to basically just get me through and function like a normal person. And it would work sometimes, but not all the time. And now I have a higher hit rate in terms of, you know, my medication feeling like it's working. And that's amazing. It helps me be productive. It helps me do these things. But because it made me so focused and productive and efficient, it also meant my dopamine searchingness. Wow, holy shit, the medication is not working this morning. My dopamine medication searchingness for uppities. I'm not trying to regulate my nervous system with nutrition as much. So when I get bored or when I get lost or I don't have clarity or I don't have basically stimulation, I'm not going, well, I should go to the pantry and get something, or I should eat because there's a down moment here. I'm not trying to regulate my nervous system with nutrition to try and get some sort of sugar to get that motivation to go, yeah, sweet, I'm energized, I have food, I have sugar in my system. Now I can finally do something for work, and I would try to use that energy to carry me into something. Now I hit that down and I go, I don't have anything to do. All right, let's make a list. What do I have to do? And I would make out a full list and go, okay, yeah, let's do this one, this one, this one. And because I'm not regulating my nervous system with nutrition as much, I'm not snacking as much. And my food has basically been, and I used to do this pre-medication as well, I scheduled in lunch, which meant breakfast was at this time, lunch was at this time, dinner was basically whenever the fuck my partner gets home. But they were in there already. Already scheduled, and I knew roughly what I was having, because if I didn't know what I was having, it would 100% be, well, I can't do it here where we live because it takes about 15 minutes to get to any takeaway shops. Plus, we have a mortgage now, so I can't afford takeaway as much. And back in the day, it was like, oh, I don't have lunch, I'll just, you know, Uber Eats, KFC, a Porto's, a HSP, this, that, kebab, whatever. It was like, yep, I'll just keep working and just order this food and it would be fine. Whereas now, and obviously, back then, I didn't want to do that all the time, so I would meal prep, or I would know what I was cooking for lunch and working from home whenever I did work from home. It was fun to just get up, cook, come back, because it would actually get me up and out of the seat, whereas if it was something that I chucked in the microwave, I felt like I didn't get that break in the middle of the day. I was still eating, and I still do that sometimes, but it just doesn't feel as fun. And there's sometimes where I wish I did have a microwave meal, because I could keep working and be productive. But with the medication, over the past 6 months, it's helped me lose 4 kilos, maybe 5 kilos. I've got to check in after a week, but I'm waiting until things get normal from food poisoning. 4 to 5 kilos in about 6 months just from not snacking. I'm not tracking anything, though I am tracking now to make sure I'm getting enough, because I've recently been feeling like, holy shit, I've got no energy, not just from the food poisoning, but prior. Like, holy crap, I've got no energy. And it's only this week that I've gone, man, I'm so fucking hungry, which I attribute to food poisoning. But anyway. It feels like I can't share the results because, or I don't want to share the results because obviously, man, biology, that whole fun stuff, more muscle on average. Two, the ADHD medication has come in and it feels like I'm cheating. It feels like it's too easy. And Beth hugs me now and she goes, there's nothing of you. You're so skinny and this and that. And I go, oh, fucking hell, I better put on some muscle. When that all started, and prior to taking the medication as well, I was thinking about this. Medication just helped me action it. I just thought it would be funny to just be ripped as fuck for my 30th birthday. It's probably not going to happen because I'd have to diet down to a serious point. I would need to build up for the next 3 months and then have a month of just basically an aggressive deficit. And I don't know if I can be fucked. So I was like, oh yeah, let's do that and do this and that. And Coach Eugene Teo, I hope it's Teo. For some reason, I think it's Tiao, but I have no idea why. I think it's Tiao, like that. But it's probably just Teo. Maybe it's just my fucking, you know, D&D background just being like, it's probably that, right? It sounds fancy. But he was having a program sale for Black Friday. So I was like, yeah, why the fuck not? So I ended up buying that. And I was like, I'm going to do his program. So I've done one of his programs. I'm starting a different program. And all that did was basically help me focus in the gym to say, this is what I'm doing. And I say this to people all the time. And I was doing this all the time. If you go into the gym and you're half-assing it, or you don't have a program, you don't know what you're following, you're like, yeah, I'll do this. Oh, it was kind of hard. It was probably this. It was probably that. You're not pushing yourself to the fullest extent, which means you're not getting the full results of being there. It was awesome to be at the gym to get the mental health benefits from it and be productive during the day and feel like I've accomplished something. But in terms of the results that I was seeing, in terms of building muscle, because that's the biggest thing that I'm trying to do at the moment, is to build muscle. And obviously another reason why I'm tracking calories to make sure I'm getting enough, because I can't. Well, I can, but it's very hard to build muscle if you're not supplementing with correct nutrition, or optimal nutrition, I should say. Even though building muscle is a stimulus response, and it's just ideal if you have enough energy coming in to build and repair for that. So that obviously you have more energy to push at the gym, to go harder, to create more stimulus, to create more effect, which then gets supplemented with nutrition. As you can see, it's a whole circle. So I bought his program and started doing that, and it just simplified things. And the good thing with it, it was 4 days a week. I was like, nah, I work out 5-6 days a week. So we're going to need to amend that. And then the first day that I did his workout, 4 days, and I was like, what the fuck is this? It was just all legs. It was quads, superset with quads, superset with quads. I was like, nah, this is fucked. And it took me 90 minutes to get through that first phase of that. And then it went down to 60, and then now it's sort of like 45 where I can smash them out. And that just sort of made me realize, holy crap, I'm not pushing myself. Even as a personal trainer, nearly a decade in the industry, holy crap, I'm not pushing myself. When I did that program, it gave me something to focus. It simplified it. And I said, I cannot go to the gym on this fifth day. I cannot go on the Saturday, for example. I cannot go on that Saturday because my whole body is screaming for a rest. So I need to rest. And doing that, I now go to the gym 4 days a week and I hit whatever muscle groups that I'm hitting and I push myself because I had that experience of that 12 weeks of being just completely fucked, really. And this is what forced rest feels like. So I went, amazing. Okay, well, I'm going to work out 4 days now. So now when I go on a fifth day or a sixth day or whatever, I'm just at the gym. I go, I'm just going to do a bit of cardio. It's made me want to do cardio because I'm pushing myself so hard in the heavy weighted sessions. I go to the gym and go, man, I am dying during these supersets. I need some cardio so that I don't, or some cardio fitness, so that I don't push myself through those weights and go, and look like I'm absolutely fucking dying. Getting up the stairs was more of a workout than lifting heavy. So I was like, well, maybe I should do something like that. And then obviously, well, actually I already knew this, but having a good cardiovascular base means that you can recover during those supersets quicker, which means that you can push blood around your system a hell of a lot easier, which means you can recover. Having good cardio means that you can lift heavier. That's how I bribe people to doing cardio. They go, oh, I don't want to do cardio. I get it. You're a little bit spicy, all right? So you don't want to do cardio, so let's make it as broken up and segmented as we can. I do 15 minutes on the treadmill, and I try to make it that point where I'm like, oh my God, I think I'm going to die. And then after about 7 minutes, I'm like, oh no, this is actually pretty cool. I set 15 minutes, but I'm not just sitting there going, okay, that's a first minute. Yeah, that's a second minute. First off, I get on the treadmill. You know how everyone parks at the gym and then they spend an hour on their phone and then they go, well, now I just have to get up there and do 10 minutes of cardio because I've run out of time for everything. I say to my clients, you can do whatever the fuck you want on your phone. You can procrastinate. You can go on Instagram. You can do this, because most clients end up working out in the morning at some time. And it's usually the first thing they do. If it's during lunchtime or whatever, same thing. Everyone gets to the gym. Everybody gets to the gym and they sit in their car on their phone just scrolling and procrastinating. And I say to my clients, you can do that. I would love for you to do that, but do it on the treadmill. When you get to the gym, when you get to the treadmill, when you get to the bike, when you get to whatever cardio it is that you're doing, then open up your phone, fuck around, do whatever you want. You can keep doing all that stuff, but I just want you to do it while you're working out or while you're warming up, because it is going to kill the time that you're on the treadmill or bike or doing cardio for. So a lot of people procrastinate and basically numb their mind for 20 minutes while they're in the car. And I say, you know how quick cardio would go if you were numbing your mind while you were on the bike or on the treadmill? It'd be awesome. You don't have to think. You would just be like, oh yeah, well, okay, well, that's all my messages responded to. That's all my Instagram caught up on, all my TikToks that I'm now bored of. Holy shit, it's been 18 minutes on the bike. Okay, let's go do this. You're still procrastinating doing the same thing, but now you're getting something from it, which is why a lot of people have obviously standing desks with treadmills under them. You're still doing the same thing, but you're getting something for it. Two birds, giant ass boulder. That's what we're looking for. That's what I tell people when they're getting to the gym. Just procrastinate, do all the shit, and then do your cardio. It'll help you so much. That's how I bribe people into doing it. And what I tell people, then, particularly at Anytime Fitnesses, probably on a lot of other commercial gyms actually, their cardio equipment has solitaire, Sudoku, all these like mini games that you can play. I'm on my phone. I typically get bored of my phone after like 4 minutes. So I chuck it down or chuck a video on it so that it stops me from just basically scrolling. So I chuck a video or podcast or music or this, that, whatever. And then I go on to solitaire. I've only just as of this morning, actually, I played Sudoku. Fucking terrible at it. No idea even how to do it. But I would play solitaire and try and finish a hand. And that's what I do. And by the time I finish that hand or give up or get bored of it, usually 10, 11, 12 minutes has gone by. And I go, sweet, well, I've only got 3 minutes to go. I'll do another one. And I'm just basically like being on an aeroplane. Nowhere to go, nothing to do. I'm just going to fucking kill time here. And it helps. And I've gotten fitter. So my workouts are more intense, but I'm working out less. I'm eating less because I'm more productive thanks to the ADHD meds. And that's part of the reason as to why I feel like that is why I'm lean. But at the same time, if I took my own advice and I gave myself the exact same advice that I give to my clients, hey, Trav, if you took 6 months and all you did was track calories or just plan your meals out, breakfast, lunch, dinner, let's say I wasn't tracking calories. If I've just taken what I've done and replicated that without the medication, this is what it would sound like. Hey, Trav, I'm going to give you 6 months. You can track calories once per month just to make sure that what you're doing on a rough day-to-day basis is roughly okay for what you're wanting. But all I want you to do is plan out your breakfast for a decent amount of protein that doesn't completely fill you up. It doesn't make you feel stuffed. I want you to do the same thing for lunch and the same thing for dinner. When you go to snack, I want you to ask yourself if you're actually hungry or why you're snacking. If you're not hungry, have some water and figure out why you want food. Because if you're not hungry, it's more than likely to do with stimulus. And why are you not stimulated? What could you be doing that could be helping? And during that time, instead of me going to the pantry while, for example, lunch is cooking, instead of going to the pantry and snacking on something and looking for something to do, I go, well, fuck, I might as well put the dishes away. And I'm taking the 10 minutes, 15 minutes of cooking lunch or whatever it takes to putting the dishes away, to folding some laundry, to doing some stuff. And that used to work. And I used to do that even pre-medication. And it was basically the, I wonder what I can get done in 15 minutes. I wonder what I can get done in 20 minutes. And one of my clients brought it up a while ago. It's the Pomodoro method of like, here's 20 minutes on and 5 minutes off, or here's 25 minutes and 5 minutes. It's whatever. It's segmented time and then segmented rest to be like, I'm going to smash all this out in X amount of time. And then I get a 15-minute break, 5-minute break, whatever. And then I can do whatever, fuck around on my phone, do whatever. And I didn't realize that that's what I used to do pre-medication. And now it's just, okay, well, I'm just going to do these things and do that. So it's made me more productive, but it also means I'm not regulating my nervous system with food as much, which means I'm buying less snacks. So they're not in the house. And I've thought about having something in the house so that I can snack on it. But at the same time, I go, I might as well just have another fucking meal. So that's where I'm at. That's how I got lean, because it took 6 months. And it feels like it's been an overnight success or an overnight thing that has happened, because I've just been going about the daily, like the day-to-day chores of everything that I'm doing. And it feels weird to say that. I think that's it. I was racking my brain. I was like, there's another point that I was trying to make, but I don't know if there is. So yeah, you can do this as well. Obviously, if you're in the middle of figuring out a diagnosis for something, whatever it is, then, you know, if you want to explore medication, go for it. It's helped me immensely. One thing that my psych said, because I only have ADHD, he said sort of like mild to moderate, to the point where it's affecting my work and like a bit of my social life, but I'm getting through, I'm getting okay, I'm coping with basically everything that I was doing in terms of last minute deadlines and aromatherapy and the caffeine and the routines. And I had fucking everything going to be like, okay, this is what works for me. And then I took the medication and about 8 of those things that I did on a daily basis went away. And I was like, holy fuck, is this what quote unquote normal people feel like? This is ridiculous. How is the world not in a better place if majority of people are normal and feel like this? It is ridiculous. So that was a lot of fun. That was really fun to figure out. So yeah, if you're in the middle of figuring it out, medication can be super helpful. If you don't want to do medication, or you don't want to go down that route, or maybe you can't afford to get diagnosed or do the medication or whatever it is, do what I did. If you want to, of course. Just figure out what works for you. Trial and error different things. Trial and error a bedtime. Trial and error a morning routine. A workout plan. A scheduling things in. Go to Google Calendar, write all your shit in and just say, hey, this is where I'm at for today. And this is what I'm doing. Take as much mental load off yourself as possible, because I know that with quote unquote executive dysfunction, it's not what I found out and what I see from a lot of clients, obviously no fucking evidence to back this up, but just what I've seen in nature. As as the ADHD man toils through the day, he creates a fucking calendar, that's what he does. From what I've seen from those people and myself, it's not so much executive dysfunction of like, here's all the things and what one should I do? Like, oh, I'm going to do the thing that I just feel like doing right now. And even though there's things on that list that you know that you need to do, and it's like, these are the most important things, most people haven't really gone through their entire list and put them into priority boxes. And even if they have done that, then that's where it comes in to say, these are the things that I know I need to do, but I can't be fucked. I'm going to go do something on the low priority list. For me, when it got to that point, because I would do the exact same thing, I would take it a step further. So first off, this is the order of things that I would do in terms of ADHD, executive dysfunction, things that just sort of work for me and work for clients. Most of you have a list, right? Most of you have a list that's a fucking mile long. Most people look at that list and then go, wow, there's everything on there. I'm so overwhelmed. And they would just pick random things on that. Instead of doing that, Google Eisenhower Priority Matrix. It's a four square box that is basically just super important and urgent, and all the way to, like, obviously different boxes for not important, not urgent. And through that, there's obviously daily tasks like dishwasher, laundry, shit like that. Take that massive list, put it into the four boxes for the priority matrix, and then you will more than likely have an idea of what you need to do because it's urgent, it's a deadline, it's this, that, whatever. But then most people stop there. And this is, of course, if you really struggle with this, most people would stop there. Giant list into the four boxes of what's important, what's not important, and obviously the other two that are there as well. And they would go, wow, here's this really important thing, but I'm going to go do something low priority. Why? Question it. I'm not saying why as in like, fucking idiot, just do this. I'm saying why as in I'm genuinely curious for you to figure out why. For me, when it got down to it of not doing the really important things, it was because either A, it was going to be a lot of work, it was going to be hard work, I couldn't be fucked, and there were so many steps to it, I was unsure as to what to do to fix this one particular big, important, urgent thing. And I would build it up in my head and I would not get started. When it was, why am I doing this? Why am I procrastinating? Oh, maybe it's not going to be good enough. Maybe I don't know what I'm doing. It usually for me stemmed from a lack of clarity or a bit of overwhelm of like, oh, I'm going to do this thing. I don't really want to do that. So I'm going to procrastinate and do this low level thing. And then I would do a million low level things and go, it's been super productive. Didn't do anything that I needed to do, but I did stuff that I wanted to do. Take that a step further and start asking yourself, why are you not doing this big thing? And be honest with yourself. Because a lot of people go, oh, it's, you know, it's hard work or like this, or I don't have this and that. Be honest with yourself. Could you do it? If you took just a little bit of time to get started and you did nothing and you just committed to it, I don't care how you feel in that moment. This is just for me. I didn't care how I felt in that moment of this thing is overwhelming and it's a pain in the ass and I don't want to do it. I'd rather do these little things. I committed to it anyway. And I was like, all right, these little things, everything else is getting fucked off. I'm doing this. How am I going to do it? How am I going to get started? What are the steps I need to do? What's the first step that I need to do? I'm just going to do that. And then I can figure out step two. And then I did it. And then I would just fly through it and then get to about step eight and go, hang on a minute. How do I do step eight? Oh, okay, cool. 9, 10. Yep, done. And then it would do it. And then I'd be like, whoa, I actually did it. Sometimes for bigger tasks and objects and things, there would be a hell of a lot more that would go into it. But question yourself, why are you not doing that particular thing? From absolute curiosity standpoint, and just figure it out, because there is a good reason for why you're not doing it. And, you know, it can be the ultimate executive dysfunction, but a lot of people just have that giant list and they go, what am I going to do today? Well, you know, these are things that I want to do, so I'm going to go do them. It's like, hey, yeah, but, you know, these are things that need to be done. It's like, yeah, but, you know, these are all on my list, so they're all equal priority. But when you put them in that priority matrix, it breaks it down to say, these are the actual things that you need to do. And when you start doing other things, you can go, oh man, why am I doing these? And you can start to question it. And then you can make it visible. You can take that thing from that urgent, important list and you can write it on a fucking post-it note. You can put it on your computer, on your fridge, on this, on that, whatever. And I used to do that to some degree. I used to have a post-it note and I used to write it down on my computer and I would stick it under the computer screen. So then no matter where I was looking, it was a bright fucking blue, pink, yellow post-it note. It was just sitting there that just said like, client model, this, that, whatever. Like, ah, oh, that's going to be a lot of work. I really can't be fucked doing that. Go to my calendar, schedule it in, 30 minutes. I'm just going to do 30 minutes of it and figure out what I need to do to actually get started. Once I've got everything I need to get started, then I can come up with how do I start step one. And then I'm going to put that half an hour in here. You can tell there's a lot of steps that go into it instead of just right now for me. Oh yeah, I need to figure that out. Let's go. And then I'd start. Previous to medication, that's what I used to do. Giant list, prioritize it, commit to that one thing. I don't care what everything else is going on. Sometimes I would choose them, but that's okay. Prioritize and commit to that one thing. Get everything ready for that one thing, like you're fucking baking a cake. Get all the ingredients out because you've got the recipe in front of you. And then, okay, I've got everything ready. Whew, now I just need to set time aside to actually start it. And then that's what I would do. There would be like 7 steps that would go into doing this one thing. And even then, I would still get distracted and not focus on it. And then I'd be like, oh yeah, no, I'll do it tomorrow. And then it would get lost in the fucking oblivion of stuff until eventually push came to shove and adrenaline came in because it was a last minute thing. And then I would get it done. That's what I would recommend of, is it the executive dysfunction or do you just have no fucking idea of what path you're going to be taking? Because it could be both. Could be both. For me and for a lot of clients, I've found that it's, they've got no idea what they're doing or how to do it. And when they commit to doing one thing, they go, okay, well, I'm just going to figure it out. And they have their individual plan as to what works for them to figure it out. And then we just do one little tiny baby thing at a time. And then that's what my life was until I got medicated. So yeah, medication has helped out heaps. I'm more productive, more efficient. But for you, or what I would tell myself pre-medication, or if I wasn't getting medication, what I would say is exactly what I just said there in terms of organizing things. Have a routine, figure it out, trial and error, be patient. Obviously, you have to do the things that you want because they are what feed your soul and your mind and everything. But commit. Pick something, do it. Be simple. Obviously, it's not as easy like do it, but there would be coping mechanisms to go in there to figure that out. Realistically, I've given myself 6 months. The only thing I've done is stop snacking during the day. I've figured out what meals I'm going to be having and they're decent protein. I'm still going out on, well, I'm not going out on the weekends, but when I, wow, this is such a drastic turnaround. I'm not going out on the weekends. I'm playing fucking Dungeons and Dragons. Look at me turning 30 like a real adult, like a big boy. So yeah, that's what I would recommend. Have the list, prioritize it, figure out what you need to be doing, put it into the calendar, have a routine, give yourself a lot of time to get it done. Give yourself grace to get it done. You're not just lazy. You're not just this. You're not just that. You just haven't figured out what works for you as of yet. But be patient with it. And that's realistically what I've done. And medication has just helped me simplify all of that. So I also came to the realization that I, well, apparently I remember saying I was done about fucking 12 minutes ago. But hey, I remember coming to the realization of me not wanting to share all of this stuff because medication has made it so easy. It feels like it is cheating. And I have clients that come to me and do the same thing where they finish 6 months later and go, it feels easy. It feels like I could have just been doing this my whole life. It's so simple. It's this, it's that. It's incredibly easy. It's not overwhelming. And, you know, I haven't given them medication. I haven't given them any secret pill or anything like that to make them lean, to make them enjoy their life, to make them do this. I've just helped them simplify it and put it into terms and words and actions that make sense for them that aren't overwhelming and they're just easy to stick to. So when they end up finishing, they say, this is really easy. I don't know why I wasn't doing this sooner. And usually it's because there's just no one there to guide you to do those things, to say, hey, I get it. This is what I did. This is what 1,000 other plus clients did. Work for them. Give it a go. If it doesn't work, sweet. Let's figure it out together. So yeah, just simplify everything, really, is I suppose what I'm getting to it. And I had that realization of, you know, my clients have had that realization. I go, yep, well, you know, I've been doing this for 12 years and you just end up figuring it out. But now I've actually felt it of, because it's not just my career, it's not just my life. And, you know, when I started basically getting paid to be fit, you do get paid to be fit because you have to be in the gym for a hell of a long time. But we force ourselves to do our workouts when we're personal trainers because we're working basically, well, I did 5 a.m. till 11, but most people did 6 till 10 or something like that. We did the classic split shift. And getting your workout in there in the middle of the day when you really can't be fucked, when you're underfueled and you have like 30 minutes or 45 minutes before your next client, it's a struggle to get your workout in. But obviously being passively active helps out a fair bit on that job. But getting your individual workout in was very difficult to try and fit that, as well as proper lunch and breakfast and dinner and shit, because of the random ass hours that we'd work. But anyway, that's obviously when you're busy. When you're not busy, it's very easy to get it in. And I had that realization of, I don't want to share these things because it's been easy for me. It's been my life. I mean, my life hasn't been easy. It has in retrospect of comparatively, but obviously living it a bit different. And I had that realization that even though I'm just going to say it, even though I was a little bit ashamed and embarrassed to share that how easy my life has become since ADHD medication has been introduced to me, I still made the decision to go get diagnosed. I still made the decision to stay on with the medication, to swap medications, to learn about the side effects, to change this, to figure out what's going to work for me, to go to the gym, to buy that program, to basically commit to something new and just see how it works out and try to commit myself to being better. And I still made that decision to go to the gym, to track my meals, to do this, to meal prep, to do all these things and to simplify my life and to make it easy on myself. Because I grew up basically having to suffer to get something good. And I feel most people that are listening to this would resonate with it as well. That if it's not hard, if it's not difficult, if it's not you suffering to get something, then it doesn't feel like it's been earned. Particularly because a lot of the mentors or coaches or people that we would look up to in business or whatever role that we would be having, it would almost be like, okay, Rook, you have to put in your time. You've got to pay your dues and then you get something. And we pay our dues in a very unique way to the person. So when we start to do something and it pays off and it's easy and it's not suffering, we go, this is too easy, I don't like it. We don't think we deserve to have these nice things off the back of doing nice things to ourselves. And it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense because we do nice things for ourselves, we end up getting nice things, and we go, wow, I got a nice thing. I hate it. I don't want it. Take it back. But if I said, you're going to do this, it's going to suck, it's going to be the worst time of your life, you're going to do this, that, and it's going to be awful, but at the other end of it, you'll get the same results as doing all the nice things, you'll be like, that sounds better. That sounds more accurate for me. It's just a weird concept, and I've only just started leaning into the, no, it can be easy. I've made it easy. I've decided for it to be easy. Even though I want things to be better, I'm really, really leaning into this like bell curve concept that I've hit a point in my life where I sort of peaked in terms of stress, like stress levels hit an all-time high. And I'm learning from a lot of other people that I'm listening to that are in the industry or just, you know, big businesses or big role models and stuff like that, that they also hit that point of this is too much. And they scaled down and they simplified it. And they just said, these are the core principles as to what I'm going to do. And then they started doing that and they did less and ended up getting more. And I feel like I'm at that part where I'm just starting to realize that maybe less is more, because I've been preaching it my entire fucking fitness genie career that do less and you'll get more, that I'm only just starting to feel it for myself now because I'm doing less, but I'm getting more for it. And now I'm leaning really hard into that, to try and segment my day to say, this is where I'm going to go ultra hard. And then I'm going to give myself permission to do absolutely nothing. If I feel like working out, then obviously I will, but I'm going to give myself permission to not do anything and be okay with that. Obviously, if I've got energy and I want to use it and I want to do work, then I will, because what's the point? Exact same thing. What's the point of me forcing myself to play a video game when I don't want to play the video game? I would rather keep working, and I actually want that. It's not a need to do that. It'd basically go the other way. What if I really wanted to play the video game and I'd already done 9 hours of work, but I was like, no, I have to work. I've got to keep working. It's the exact same thing. We're just swapping the terminology up. But anyway, that's where we're at. Do less, you'll get more, keep it simple, and figure out what works for you is the core principle of what's going on. But that's how I went from, well, I didn't even tell you how I went from 103 down to 87, but I was 103 kilos at one point. I'm not going to tell you in this episode because it's already been going for an hour. I was 103 kilos at one point, worked all my way down to get to 88, maintained that for about 2.5, 3 years, and then went to 83 off the back of that big thing. off the back of that, I wonder what a 1,200 calorie meal plan would look like equated for me. It was fucking awful. But that got me to 83. Then I spent 7 weeks reverse dieting to be able to maintain it. And now, over the past 6 months, I've just stopped snacking and I've started working out a hell of a lot harder. And over the past 6 months, that's led me to basically being 78, 79. And as far as I know, I'm maintaining that. But the priority at the moment is I don't want to lose more weight. I want to build muscle. So I'm going into a maintenance, or I'm trying to go into a 100 calorie surplus per day, 200 calorie surplus per day. But I'm trying to work out as hard as I can 4 days per week. So ideally, I'll sit at maintenance. And then one day during the weekend, whenever I play D&D, that'll be a takeaway. So, but anyway, that's where I'm at the moment. Just wanted to let you all in on the context. I hope it helped in some sort of way. Hope you got something from it. I would absolutely love it if you followed, liked, did whatever, wherever you are listening to this app, because honestly, like, I did not realize how much it absolutely fucking helps us soar through the charts when people start liking, commenting, engaging with the poll that is up there, if there is a poll that is up on this one for today, and just reviewing. I had no idea that 10 seconds out of my life to review someone's podcast that I listen to or a friend's podcast to just go 10 seconds, 5 stars. Awesome. I love the way they talk about blah, blah, blah. If it has that box for review, I had no idea that that was so goddamn valuable for them getting organic views through Spotify, through Apple Podcasts, through all those things. And yeah, if this was useful for you and you haven't reviewed as of yet, I would absolutely love it if you could, because I'm really trying to build out this podcast into something special purely because I want to bring on more people that are more experienced and that have amazing messages. And I just want to interview them for all of you. And I can't, well, I can, but I can't really be like, hey, we have 700 followers on Spotify. How would you love to be a guest? And they're like, well, no. And it also sounds weird reaching out to someone to be like, hey, would you like to be a guest on the podcast? And then being like, well, what message do you think you'd have for the audience? It doesn't work that way. So I just want to build it up so that I can get more of an audience so that I can invite more people to the podcast or have people wanting to be on the podcast to say, hey, I listen and I do this, and just give even more value back to all of you. And that starts with just a like or review or a share or a whatever to just help us build. It'll take you 10, 15 seconds. And I'd be super appreciative if you have the time to be able to do that. Any hoosies, thank you for listening to me rant for an hour and 7 minutes. Jesus Christ. So I really hope that you got something out of it. And I'll see you in the next one.